Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Welcome to Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo. In the next 25 minutes, West African leaders meeting in Nigeria on a summit on Boko Haram are calling for more help to fight the militant.
Le plus meurtrier au monde.
Boko Haram is the deadliest terrorist group in the world, and France is in a good position to know this, to be alarmed about what Daesh does in Iraq and Syria.
And in Cameroon, a stadium that will be hosting this year's African Female Football Tournament has collapsed. This woman who was working at the premise survived.
I was really scared. A field that can accommodate 40,000 people and is still under construction. It's really scary. If it can collapse, then this is the first time. I'm sure there can be a second time.
Plus another segment of the drama series Crime Fighters. Stay tuned.
Top story.
West African leaders have urged for more action against the Nigerian Islamist group Boko Haram. This call was made at a summit in Abuja over the weekend, and Western powers, including French President Francois Hollande, were present. The United States voiced concern over Boko Haram's ties to the so-called Islamic State group and its threat to African security. The result of the summit is a new 8,500 regional strong force that will now be deployed to fight the Islamists. From Abuja, TW's Ubale Musa filed this report.
The summit provided leaders of the region and their Western allies an opportunity to clink glasses after an unexpected sudden victory which saw the group losing an area of the size of Belgium within a span of less than a year. From one of the most dreaded terror organizations, the joint effort of the five countries in the multinational joint task force and their Western backers have succeeded in cornering Boko Haram to only send the forest in northeastern Nigeria. The leaders seem not carried away by the victory, resolved to push for a total eradication of the menace, which the French President Francois Hollande described as a threat to the entire world.
Boko Haram est le groupe terroriste le plus meurtrier au monde.
Boko Haram is the deadliest terrorist group in the world, and France is in a good position to know this, to be alarmed about what Daesh does in Iraq and Syria. We have every reason to continue to worry about what goes on in Somalia and Libya. We have repelled several attacks during the past few months.
Assassiné, enlevé, violé.
Beyond winning the war, leaders at the summit, which aimed at consolidating the gains of the previous 2 years, also seek to keep the peace through massive rehabilitation and reconstruction program, as well as returning the internally displaced victims and refugees back home. At least $6.5 billion is required, according to the recent census jointly undertaken by the United Nations and Nigerian government, to rehabilitate the northeastern Nigeria alone. The summit, however, saw the tricklings of funds for the task, including €40 million announced by the European Vice President Federica Mogherini and another £32 million by British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond over the next 3 years. China also announced its commitment to partake in rebuilding the areas destroyed by Boko Haram. President Muhammad Buhari, however, called for a comprehensive post-conflict development plan for the regions affected by the crisis.
As part of a comprehensive approach to addressing the root causes of terrorism and extreme radicalism in the region, we must now articulate a plan for the critical post-conflict development phase. While we work to enhance the provision of humanitarian assistance to the victims of terrorism, we remain focused on efforts to create conditions for the voluntary return of the internally displaced persons and refugees to their homes in peace and dignity.
Over 20,000 people died, while another 2.8 million were displaced in the conflict, considered the most deadly in the West and Central Africa region.
Ubale Musa in Abuja. Meanwhile, the US is concerned that Boko Haram Islamists and the so-called Islamic State have begun to collaborate. My colleague Crispin Mwakidiwu spoke to John Campbell, a former US ambassador to Nigeria, and began by asking him whether Boko Haram is interested in attacking US interests.
Up until now, Boko Haram has shown very little interest in the United States or in the West generally. It's very different from the Islamic State. The United States has very friendly relations with Nigeria and other states in the region, but but it does not have formal alliances. Boko Haram has been focused on the destruction of the Nigerian state rather than having broader goals, such as the Islamic State does. And in fact, the U.S. military presence in the region, it's very easy to exaggerate its size and its importance.
All right. Now, let's talk about U.S. President Barack Obama. He's been showing an interest recently in the West and Central Africa region. Just a few days ago, we had about the intention of the U.S. to sell fighter planes to Nigeria to fight Boko Haram. And then he also dispatched the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Samantha Power, to the region. Is he genuinely concerned about what's happening there, or is it just, you know, symbolic now that his time is coming to an end?
No. I think he's genuinely concerned about what's happening there. But again, I think we have to be precise and we have to be cautious. The United States is not selling fighter planes to Nigeria. What it is selling is propeller aircraft used primarily for surveillance. Similarly, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Samantha Power, visited the region, but a focus has to be on the impending humanitarian crisis in the region. There are somewhere between 2 and 3 million internally displaced persons in northeastern Nigeria, and there are major problems with food security. These are both issues that are bound to be of concern both to the United Nations and also to the Obama administration.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria, John Campbell, and you're listening to DW's Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Workers at one of Cameroon's stadiums, set to host this year's African Female Football Cup of Nations, have abandoned work after parts of the stadium collapsed, killing 2 people and injuring several. The incident occurred after Cameroon's Prime Minister instructed companies to speed up construction work in order to meet the deadlines. Fears are being raised that Cameroon may not be ready for the event. The stadium is one of 3 to host the tournament in November. DW's Moki Kinseka reports from Yaoundé.
Noise from an air conditioning system welcomes me to the dressing room of the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium under renovation in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. It has been on for about 1 week since engineers who were testing the facility left after part of the stadium collapsed. The workers have not been here since then. Jamila Abo, a sports analyst who lives by the stadium, says parts of the stadium were destroyed as the workers dug underneath to create a second access way for vehicles, as recommended by the Confederation of African Football, CAF.
I was really scared. A field that can accommodate 40,000 people and is still under construction. It's really scary. If it can collapse, then this is the first time. I'm sure there can be a second time. I question the quality of work done because the work has been going on for a long time. An accident like this can happen, then it's really something to wonder about.
After the incident, the government of Cameroon announced that 1 person had died, several were wounded, and 2 were trapped in the soil beneath. Emmanuel Tadze, who was rescued when his left leg was trapped in the soil, says more than 1 person died.
The guys that were commissioned to dig that place, because the caterpillar dig the place and it wasn't straight. So they commissioned the guys to use diggers to dig it so that they put the formwork. So suddenly the ground just collapsed and we had 3 guys who were working there and they were caught up with the ground.
Thierry Fotso, who was also rescued and has been discharged from the Yaoundé Central Hospital, says they will go back to work only when their working conditions are improved.
We have made suggestions for them to understand that at this level, the digging should be done with machines, not manually by human beings. I was lucky. I was behind when the ground collapsed. There were 4 of us there, and three workers were trapped in the soil when I was rescued.
Cameroon Prime Minister Philemon Yang, however, gave assurances that the country will be ready by November to host the tournament.
We've had a series of meetings. We visited the work sites, and I can tell you for sure the African Cup will take place in the best of circumstances. It will go well. We know that you want to be sure that everything goes well. I can assure you it will go well. We will have a wonderful African Cup.
That report was compiled by Moki Kinseka. Let's now head to South Africa, where the Nelson Mandela Foundation, in collaboration with Germany's Hans Seidel Foundation, have launched an online platform called Civics Academy. This academy will enable young people to obtain knowledge and engage in robust debate on the country's democratic process. Tulu Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
In the past few months, President Jacob Zuma's commitment to uphold and respect the constitution has come under intense criticism after the courts found that Zuma violated the constitution. Now the Nelson Mandela Foundation and the German non-governmental organization Hans Seidel have launched a platform which they say will empower the youth to safeguard the constitution. Delivering her keynote address at the launch, public protector Tulima Tonsela applauded the online education initiative, saying it will go a long way in strengthening democratic values and inspiring active citizenship.
I think for me the role of young people becomes twofold in terms of delivering the democracy. One is getting all of us to understand the Constitution and spreading the gospel about the meaning of those things. But the second part is playing your part, all of us, in delivering the South Africa we want.
And in his speech, Selo Hatang, the CEO of Nelson Mandela Foundation, an organization formed by the late Nelson Mandela, said the Civics Academy content will empower the youth with knowledge in all aspects of life. The online content will include democracy, elections, governance, political parties, justice system, the constitution, economy, human rights, and the environment.
It's never too late to do the right thing. We can claim the constitution as a lodestar, but we need to know how to use it. Professing love to the constitution is no longer enough. What Madiba and that generation left us is inheritance that we should be proud of.
Wolf Krook is the regional representative for Southern Africa at the Hans Seidel Foundation, the organization that founded and funded the initiative.
We believe that every new generation needs to acquire a sound understanding of democracy. The Hans Seidel Foundation is committed to promoting the spirit and the values of the South African Constitution. It also endeavors to support efforts towards a more equitable and just society, sustainable development, and a vibrant democracy.
The youth have also welcomed the academy and expressed their eagerness to shape the destiny of their country. Mohamed Shakil Gada is a law student at Witwatersrand University in Johannesburg.
On the whole, I'm really excited to be part of something that is a platform for the questioning the relevance and the truth value of the Constitution. It is ours to own and to implement and to live by.
The online platform, which is civicsacademy.co.za, provides free audio and visual content on important aspects of citizenship, democracy, and good governance. Discussions and debates on these aspects will be held at different youth platforms across the country. Organizers say it is only when the youth is well informed that it can demand accountability from those in power.
Tuzu Kumalo in Johannesburg. Let's hand you over now to the Learning by Air team for another segment of Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there, and welcome to Crime Fighters, Drugs to Cure, Drugs to Kill, by Mukoma Wangugi. This is the fifth episode. It all boils over. The name of the pharmacist Mary Jane came up during the investigations into Peter's death. But when the detectives went to interrogate her, all hell broke loose.
The gunfight at the pharmacy was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. Our enemies had the element of surprise and the advantage of overwhelming firepower. If it weren't for Chokbank and Salamisha, I wouldn't have survived. When they dropped me off at Mary Jane's, they saw a van pull up, but didn't think much of it at first. It was only about a minute later that Chokbank remembered seeing the same van near Malinya's house. So they drove back and saved our lives. Chokbank was wounded, but Salamisha miraculously escaped. Amidst all the gunfire, I heard her fire three single disciplined shots, and then all was quiet. She had killed them all. Meanwhile, Mary Jane had managed to call the ambulance from a hiding place in the back of the pharmacy. Will Chokbank be okay?
We need to get him to hospital, right now.
I'm sorry.
Shh, don't talk. Save your strength. You're going to be okay.
Sorry. I have to go.
No.
I have to go now. You know how it is. This is to be.
No, my brother, please, just hold on. We knew by now that Peter's death was somehow connected to our country's wealthy, powerful and corrupt elite. With Chokbank wounded, Salamisha and I were the only ones left on the case. We wanted to continue my conversation with Mary Jane, which had been interrupted by the gunman. We were still at the pharmacy when my phone rang. I knew already what I was about to hear. Salamisha, that was the hospital. Chokbank is a...
He didn't make it.
No. Our brother is dead. My God. Those are words I never thought I'd have to say. My brother, our brother, is dead.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. No. I refuse to cry. I'll get revenge instead. Let's make Chokbank's death count for something, Kalumba. We'll get them all. Not just the assassin who pulled the trigger. We'll get the forces behind them too. From the one selling fake medicine in the street for 10 Ketagu shillings to the one living in a mansion on other people's false hopes.
You and I, Salamisha, we'll go wherever this case leads us. We'll see it through right to the end. It was time to take stock. This is what we had so far. Peter was dead. Our first lead in the case, Fuma, was dead too, and his assassins were killed in a shootout with Salamisha and Chokbank. Now my fellow detective Chokbank, who was like a brother to me, was dead as well. Everyone involved in the case was in some way suspicious. Baba Peter, the preacher man, Mary Jane, Dr. Kamkuta and his brother Malinya, the healer Lamatu, pretty much everyone we'd come across was potentially guilty. It was time to start thinking about who looked more guilty than the others. I wanted to get the people behind the people who killed Chokbank. Mary Jane was beautiful. She was obviously intelligent. But was she dangerous?
Okay, detectives. What do you want to know?
What did you mean when you said our lives are over? It's already true for Chokbank. He was like a brother to me and he's just been murdered by those beasts. I intend to get them and in order to do that, I'll trample on anyone who stands in my way. Do you understand me?
The loss of your friend does not give you the right to threaten me. Do you understand me?
I just don't want you to have any illusions. You seem to be a straight-talking woman, Mary Jane, so I'm going to be perfectly straight with you. A young man is dead. The manner of his death suggests that the killer had some knowledge of medicine, in particular how to mix medicines in the right proportions and how to prepare cyanide capsules. You are a pharmacist and your name has come up in our investigation. So once again, what did you mean when you said I'd walk in a giant?
I meant that you have angered some very dangerous beasts. Beasts that are hungry for power and money. Peter did the same, and now he's dead.
So you knew Peter?
Yes, I did. I knew him very well. I prepared his prescriptions. But he was also my boyfriend.
So how come his parents knew nothing about you?
Why do you think? Which is harder to overcome in this country? Differences of ethnicity or of class? I've done well for myself, as you can see. But I come from a very poor village. They wouldn't have wanted their son to marry a village girl. To them, I was his plaything, not his girlfriend. He told them we'd broken up, but we were still seeing each other, secretly. You know what was worst of all? I couldn't even attend his funeral. I couldn't say goodbye to the love of my life.
Then you want justice too. Tell us everything you know and I'll make sure they pay for the suffering they've caused.
Revenge? No, that's not for me. If I help you, it will be so that others don't suffer as well.
That's good enough for me. Please, Mary Jane, start from the beginning.
You know about the drugs?
Which drugs?
Counterfeit medicines. All kinds. It's a multi-billion dollar industry all over the world, especially where people are poor and desperate. Do you know what they say? 10 Ketagu shillings from 1 million poor people makes one millionaire. Fake antibiotics, fake antivirals, cough syrups watered down so that they still taste like medicine.
Are you involved?
Do I look like I have a billion Ketagu shillings in my Swiss bank account? Besides, those fake drugs are bad for my pharmacy. What happened was this. I was approached by drug dealers and I turned them down. My mistake was telling Peter. He wanted to find out more. He said that with his money and power, he'd make sure they'd never bothered me again.
Do you have any leads for us? Where do we start?
Over 30% of the medicines sold in this country are fake. Most people don't even know you're supposed to have a prescription note from the doctor and that you need to take it to a licensed pharmacy. As for where they're coming from, for a supply like that, you'd have to look to the Ministry of Health. That much I know. And when you get there, start at the top.
You have a point. That amount of money certainly isn't ending up in the hands of the little people. It's the little people who are doing the dying.
Are we done? If that's it, all I can say is I hope I never have to see you again. Not under this sort of circumstances.
I can assure you, madam, that the feeling is mutual.
Well, the only thing that will keep you safe from us is the truth. We are going to get the people behind Chokbank's death and Peter's.
A lot has been going on, but the detectives are staying focused. Join us again next time to find out where the story leads. You can listen to this episode again on our website, dw.com/crimefighters. And you can always visit us on Facebook. Bye for now.
And before we leave you, a quick recap of the main stories. West African leaders meeting in Nigeria on a summit on Boko Haram are calling for more help to fight the militants. In Cameroon, a stadium that will be hosting this year's African Female Football Tournament has collapsed, killing two. And that's all we had time for. You can contact us by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com. Also, a letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or you can send us an SMS to +49 160 957 59510. That's +49 160 957 59510. My name is Abubakar Jalo in Bonn. Bye now.